Having finished her Coca-Cola and her cheese puffs, Miss Margie Vella Barfield was led away to be put to death. The day was November the 2nd, the year was 1984. It was in the Raleigh State Prison in Raleigh, North Carolina. Miss Barfield had been convicted of murdering her fiancé, and also she had confessed to the killing of three other folks. So in total, Miss Barfield had killed four individuals, and she was going to have to pay the price. She was the first woman of the United States to be executed since 1962. A little before 2 a.m. on that morning, clad in pink pajamas, she was given a sleeping pill, and then she was injected with a muscle relaxant that literally stopped her heart. And at 2:30 a.m., Margie Vella Barfield was dead. She had been put to death for taking another life. Matter of fact, she had been put to death for taking the life out of several individuals. It is very seldom that a person is put to death for giving life. There's a man that I've come to know pretty personally in my life over the last few years, who is a very loving and a very forgiving man, that he and I have a relationship of talking on a day-by-day basis, who died not because he had taken a life, but who had died to give life.
Amen. Lord. Amen, brother.
His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
33 and a half years of age. Just when his life had begun, he died that the world might have life.
Amen.
And life is available because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Just because your heart beats on the inside of your body today doesn't mean that you have life. There is no life, real life, true life, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the good thing is this, when Jesus Christ saves our soul, upon our invitation for him to do so, he does not make us perfect, but he helps us live our lives every single day. He gives us life. And this man Jesus had suffered at the hands of us. He had experienced a betraying. He had been sold for 30 pieces of silver. He was sold out by the person who was supposed to be his follower. He had been betrayed. There was a binding that took place. They took a piece of rope and tied his hands together and led him away like an animal to the altar, like a slave who was trying to escape. May I interject something right here? There has never been nor ever will be a rope that is strong enough to hold the hands of Jesus.
Hey.
If Jesus doesn't want his hands held.
Amen, brother. Hey.
So they bound him and carried him away. Then he was belittled. You don't remember that? They stripped him down, placed him on a faded robe of purple, placed a crown on his head that was not made with gold or silver or rubies and diamonds. They placed a crown of thorns on his head, and they gave him a cane, and just like everybody, they began to laugh at him. The world that we live in today are still laughing at Jesus, but I want you to understand something. He will have the last laugh one of these days. For according to the Bible, you can belittle him today, but I've got news for you. One of these days you will bow before him and you will confess that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes. Amen.
Whether you want to serve him now or not, you will bow before him one glorious day, and that day is just around the corner, and you won't laugh and mock on that day. You'll bow and say, he is who he said he was.
Yes.
Think a little. Then it came this time. The bearing is involved. The Son of God himself came bearing a piece of wood on his back. Our Christ was headed toward crucifixion. It was time for him to die. And they were not going to give him a sleeping pill. They were not going to give him some kind of muscle relaxer. No. Jesus Christ was going to hang on an old wooden cross. We might have life. Our Christ was crucified. And in John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 17, he begins the story and he says this right here, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And he, bearing his cross. It was a custom among the Romans to force the vilest criminals to carry their own cross. And most would die from the stoning, and only the worst of the worst would die on a cross. So part of the punishment on that day for the crime that had been committed, he had to carry his own cross. His accusers didn't waste any time. It was the day of the Passover, and they wanted to have this matter finished before they went on with their hypocritical pity to celebrate the festivities of that day. They wanted to celebrate as if they had done nothing wrong. So Jesus came, carrying his cross. Bad enough that he was going to have to die upon it more or less than to carry it by himself. Bleeding body was tender, harassed and tied up. Shoulders were sore. He wouldn't make it very long. He would stumble beneath the load. But he carried that cross faithfully to the hill called Golgotha. What made him carry that cross? The simple fact of the matter is this: his love for you and me.
Amen.
He carried that cross. Weakened from the scourge, nervous, exhausted, he collapsed and fell to the ground under the weight of it. And folks looked at him as he lay there. A Jew of Cyprus helped him carry it. We're not far, know how far that he carried it. Just know that he was compelled to help this hurting man. Jesus carried the cross upon which he was to die. Our crucified Christ. Would you let me today, would you help me as we examine his crucifixion for just a moment? You say, I've already heard about it, Ron. I've already listened to stories about it. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. We should never, ever get over the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Two things you should never, ever get over. That is the crucifixion and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and resurrection morning.
Amen.
It took both events to bring us to where we are today. Let's think about the place of his crucifixion. Where did this take place? Bearing his cross, he went forth to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. He went forth. Outside the city walls. They didn't realize it, but he was helping to fulfill an Old Testament prophecy, the sin offering, which on the day of atonement was carried without the king. And little did they know that they were fulfilling Scripture. You tell me something. Let me remind you of something. Jesus can use the vilest of vilest to accomplish his will if he chooses to do so.
Amen.
Went forth. And Christ was going to become God's offering for our sin. He was going to be crucified outside the city of Jerusalem. Now there's some very important truths here. It's a vicious place. A place of a skull. It was a hill that was shaped like a skull just outside the gates. This place was known as the kingdom of death. And they were taking the giver of life to the kingdom of death. And on this hill, many people had died. It was the place of crucifixion. There were dead men's skulls and there were dead men's bones lying all over the ground. There were the heads of those who had been martyred, carried there, and thrown down. The Creator of all things was carried to a vicious place. Can I tell you something? He didn't choose to do so, but if Jesus had wanted to when he was carried to this vicious place and all the dead men's bones lying around with skulls, if Jesus had wanted to, he could have brought life to the dead bones. He did it once before. Thank God he could do it again. And guess what? If you're dry today and buried, he can bring life back to you. That vicious place. It was a visible place. This place was a thoroughfare on which many people passed. The road led out of the city into the country and was greatly, greatly traveled. People traveled it all the time. And it was a custom of the Romans to crucify transgressors at the side of the busiest public road they could find. I probably shouldn't say this, and you may disagree with me, and that's fine. I think my Son of God was hanging there that day on the visible place. But I'll tell you, in a world like we live in today, where people are taking lives everywhere you turn around, if we adopted some of the Roman law and got rid of some of these folks on the side of the busiest highways for everybody to see their punishment, some of the stuff we're going through would stop.
Amen.
You sound like that. Well, that's the way I feel. We lock them up and let them sit there and we keep them up and we feed them and do all these things. And I'm not being critical. Guess what? My son could have wound up in prison just like everybody else. People make mistakes. But I will tell you, according to the Bible, if you take a life, you are to give life in return for taking a life.
Amen.
So they did it out there in the visible place. And everybody saw what was going on. And everybody looked on that day. They saw them as they stood there. It had to be on a knoll about 30 feet. Above the ground, so everybody could see. Our Christ was carried to a visible place to be crucified. Unashamedly, we kill him. Unashamedly, today we live contrary to his teachings. Y'all got it. In the Hebrew tongue, the phrase is used only one other time in Scripture. Remember where it was used? At the pool of Bethesda. Pool of Bethesda. At Bethesda, we see his mercy. At Golgotha, we see the brutality of the soldiers. The giver of was crucified on a vicious, visible place. For every one of you sitting in this room, including me sitting on this platform, I want you to understand, he went to this visible, vicious place for you and me.
Amen.
When I see something else, you may not see it here, but I see it here. It's a victorious place.
Amen.
Never had it been looked at the way it was until Jesus was carried to the hill of Golgotha. The hill of Golgotha will never, ever be the same since Jesus stopped that.
Amen, brother.
Can I tell you something? Listen to me. Listen to me. When Jesus stops by, things will never be the same. Hill called Golgotha, the very Son of God was about to lay down his life for us. He was about to give up the ghost and die. He was going to hang there suspended between heaven and earth for you and me. Thank goodness for the hill called Golgotha.
Amen.
I would ask for a show of hands here too. Don't want to know. I just wonder how many folks sitting here today bought tickets trying to win the $640 million. Think about it. Think about it. And we're waiting on winners to come forward. Now, after all this money, they're just waiting for winners to come forward. Probably a Baptist preacher afraid to say he won't bought that ticket.
Come
on, brother. But you know something? You could win the $640 million and it would not compare to the victory on the hill called Golgotha. You can win half of that. And if you do, take me out to supper at least. One good fine place. Don't tell me where the money came from. Just take me out. But I will tell you something. Listen, you could buy a lot of earthly things. And you could have a lot of toys and gadgets. But $640 million won't buy eternity in heaven. Only what took place on the hill called Golgotha buys you a place in heaven.
Amen,
brother. I am victorious today. Not that I have anything or ever will have anything. I am victorious today, not because of my clothes. I am victorious because of what took place on the hill called Golgotha.
Amen, brother.
Listen, and I am forgiven today. I make mistakes and fall along the wayside, but aren't you glad that God doesn't say, when you make one mistake, I no longer love you. Thank God he still loves us and forgives us in spite of who we are. And if you think you've never had to have forgiveness since you've been saved, you're so far away from God, you won't know what forgiveness is. For we've got to have forgiveness every day to live our lives in this world. It's a visible, vicious, victorious place. People say that scares us. You ought not talk about somebody being crucified and blood flowing. You ought not do that. Can I tell you something? The only way you're going to make it through to heaven is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you. A visible, vicious, victorious place. That's the place. Look with me at verse 18, and he'll tell me about the procedure. Where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. You know why they put Jesus on the central cross? They didn't realize what they were doing, but you know why they put Jesus on the central cross? Because your life will never be anything unless Jesus is right in the center of everything. Church will never be anything unless Jesus is right in the center.
Hallelujah.
It's not about me. It's not about anybody else. It's about Jesus Christ. And they put him on that central cross right in the middle of two thieves.
Right.
You know something? It was you and I that day that put him on that cross. We crucified Jesus. No, preacher, the Roman soldiers did. No, we crucified Jesus. And the most amazing thing is this, if Jesus walked into that door right now, there'd be a handful of folks who would still cry out to crucify him again.
Amen.
But as much as you want to cry out, crucify him again, let me assure you, according to the authority of God's word, Jesus will never, ever die again.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thank you, Lord.
What the procedure was it used? Now, let me back up and help you understand the procedure. You said, I've heard this. Let me repeat it again. There was a nailing involved. The victim would again be stripped, a linen cloth would be placed around his loins. He would then be laid down on the cross on the ground. And then what would they do? His arms would be stretched across the crossbar. A rope would be used to hold them in place. And then huge nails would then be used on his hands and his feet. And the nails were driven to the parts of the hands and feet, which are full of nerves and tendons. The pain was severe. With every blow of that hammer, it was severe. And at a distance from the heart, as the heart would pump, it would create great anguish. And as the heart would pump, blood would flow out of those piercings and out of those holes, blood would flow. And I remind you that every single drop of blood that fell from the hands of Jesus was for me and you. Every drop of blood from his hands and his feet were for you. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
They drip from his hands. Be careful. The way we do Jesus, sometimes we're not driving nails in his hands. We're driving nails in his heart.
Amen.
When we look at folks who have gone down hard times and they're just absolutely to the world's eyes pathetic, and we as church folks look at them and say they'll never be anything, can I remind church folks that you would have never been where you are today if it had not have been for Jesus.
Hey.
When he sat down with a woman at the well, his heart was full of compassion. When he touched eyes and eyes could see, they were full. His heart was full of compassion. And if we don't reach out, then we're driving nails in the very heart of Jesus.
Yes.
There also was a lifting. The cross was then lifted up and planted in a hole. The hole was already dug. Already done. I know what that's like growing up with Dad on the farm before the Lord took Dad away. We had a bunch of cattle, and we always had to build fences, and then you didn't use the metal posts you use today, just driving the ground. But we'd go out there, and the old big cross ties, you know, we'd go out there with the old coal diggers. I'll never forget that. Dad said, you got to go deeper, Mom. You got to go deeper. You got to go deeper. And I stand there in my mind as a teenager thinking, if you want it deeper, why don't you dig it yourself? But I knew better. For I went from digging one hole to 40 holes, if I'd said that. And you know, you dig that hole, and you dig that hole, and you lay the dirt out, and then you'd slide that big old cross tie out of the back of the trailer, and you'd slide it into that hole, and you'd push it with everything you had, and all of a sudden that thing would go, whoo! It would fall into that hole that had been dug. Jesus said these words, unless I be lifted up, no man will come unto me. They slid that big old wooden cross, those Roman soldiers, and they dropped that thing in the hole, and there all his weight shifted and his weight dropped, and you could hear it all over the town and the city streets. Woo! And there hung the Son of God. There was a nailing, there was a lifting, there was a hanging. Jesus hung there on that cross. He was waiting to die, bloody, painful, shameful, cursed death, the death of the cross. Listen, would you in your mind, by faith, get a vision of Jesus hanging on that central cross? His hands outstretched as far as they could go to invite us to embrace him. He hangs there on the tree. Those who hung on the cross could hang there for hours upon hours and waiting on death. You know what death usually came from? It came from a thirst, starvation, intolerable pain from the sun bearing down as they hung there. And even the Romans said that crucifixion was the most cruel and horrifying pain that a person could endure. We sat in this beautiful sanctuary, an absolutely beautiful carpeted floor, beautiful pads and pews, beautiful wall, beautiful decor, beautiful chandeliers. We sat in here, and all of us, beautifully dressed, we're sitting in here, it really looks good. There was nothing pretty whatsoever when the Son of God hung on the cross. He hung back. He hung back. He hung back. Then there was a railing that took place. You know what happened? As he hung there on that cross, Jesus was crucified with two others, two thieves. Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. He hung there that day, and he died for us. Jesus was mocked, laughed at, and he did it for us. Jesus was crucified. I am not always what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I'm going to be. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Let me go ahead and tell you without keeping you in suspense. You already know the facts, but let me tell you this, and then we're going to stand in just a moment. But yeah, Jesus hung there. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, I thirst. He said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And he died. But the good news is this. The tomb could not hold.
Hey. Hallelujah.
Now, if you want to wait this next Sunday to celebrate, you wait. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this morning that the tomb couldn't hold.
Hey.
He was crucified. Stand with me this morning.